My guest at this time is Paul Neelan. He is best known for mounting a high-profile Republican primary challenge to House Speaker Paul Ryan in 2016. Mr. Neelan is now the author of the new book, Wage the Battle, Putting America First in the Battle to Stop Globalist Politicians and Secure the Borders. And he is also running again to unseat Speaker Ryan in 2018. And Paul, thanks very much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me, Greg. Really glad to be here.
Your book touches on many big issues, from the border to trade to economic nationalism to American sovereignty and American foreign policy. Your approach seems to be what a lot of people would call an America First perspective, and that certainly resonated for millions of Americans and helped to elect President Trump. The other side would say that it smacks of isolationism and it ignores the global framework that we conduct ourselves in. Now, what's at the core of your philosophy?
Well, I think that in order for us to participate in the global sphere, we need to have a strong America. And what we have seen happen with, for instance, these global free trade deals, they're not really free trade deals. They are ways for government and large corporations to partner up and essentially sell America. And I'm not for that. I've run Fortune 500 businesses. I've successfully moved businesses from Canada and Mexico and China back to the United States, more profitably, I might add. So it's possible to do that if you know what you're doing. And however, if you like Speaker Ryan, try to give certain corporations a leg up on other small and mid-sized businesses, you're really undermining America, because we can't have a strong military. We can't have a strong nation unless we have strong trade, unless we have strong businesses. And this country wasn't founded on free trade deals. This country was founded on protecting our manufacturing base, protecting our natural resources, and tilting the playing field in the favor of our manufacturers. And that's not what's happening now. We are literally at economic war with countries like China and South Korea and Taiwan, many of whom who are manipulating their currency to undermine our ability to do business in the global marketplace. That has to stop.
Talk a little bit more about your time running businesses and what that taught you about what works for America and what doesn't.
Well, I literally started out in a factory back in 1987, 18 years old, on the factory floor. I was a maintenance mechanic going to school at night for my engineering degree. I eventually ran that factory, and I've run factories all around the United States. I lived in Europe. I was in charge of Europe, the Middle East, and Africa for Fortune 500. And we have the most innovative, hardest working employees in the world. When you add it all up, when you add up all the parts, hardworking, innovativeness, figuring out ways to get the problem solved for the customer, hands down, America is number one. We have got just a fabulous workforce. There are pockets of great workforces out there. I worked in Poland a lot. They're great. But I'll tell you, there is nothing that the American workforces can't do unless they are hamstrung by our government. And we've seen that happen. God bless the Trump administration for tearing down. You know, they said that they were going to put in place, you had to take down two regulations for every one new regulation. And they are at 16 to 1. They are removing 16 regulations for every one new regulation they're writing. And what do we see? We see Speaker Ryan trying to take credit for that now. He had 18 years in Congress, and he's abdicated his role to the executive branch, and now he's trying to take credit for what the executive branch is doing. So I find it somewhat ironic, not terribly ironic, knowing how Speaker Ryan operates. But I'm very pleased with what the Trump administration is doing, untying the hands of businesses. President Trump signed us out of Trans-Pacific Partnership his first Monday in office. I was thrilled with that. And just to give people some perspective, how far we've gone. Back in 1985, we negotiated a free trade agreement with Israel, and it was 13 pages long. Fabulous trade deal, 13 pages long. Fast forward about 10 years, they passed NAFTA, It's 1,700 pages long. Fast forward a couple more decades, Trans-Pacific Partnership comes along, 5,500 pages. There is nothing free about trade that's described in 5,500 pages. It just doesn't happen.
We're talking with Paul Neelan. He is the author of Wage the Battle. And Paul, one of the biggest promises, of course, from the Trump campaign was to build the wall on the southern border. It got put off in the most recent appropriations bill back at the end of April. And now we're seeing reports coming up here as we approach the summer recess that a lot of Republicans are looking to avoid a vote on the wall as we approach the next round of budgeting. So what's your reaction to that? And what's it going to take, do you think, to bring the bulk of the Republican Party over to some of the ideas that you're espousing in this book?
Well, I wrote this book as a call to action. I've seen reviewers call it an action plan for Trump-like candidates, and I'm very flattered by that. That is exactly why I wrote the book, because we need hundreds of good, righteous candidates who believe in securing the border and putting American workers and American retirees and American children first. And I'm disgusted with this Congress not voting on the wall and essentially just attaching some spending, which will get us about 60 miles of new border fence. It's ridiculous. I've been to the border, and there are areas of the border where there is like 20 foot tall. They call it Jurassic Park. The fencing looks like enormous spikes coming up out of concrete, steel spikes, and adjacent to it is your normal run-of-the-mill barbed wire put up by ranchers to keep their cows or their steer from going into Mexico because the water is inches deep. And so to suggest that we've got the border secured is absurd. Anybody who's been there knows it is not secure. And you just can't run a country like that. You can't. I think they're spineless jellyfish is what I think they are, the Congress people who won't vote on putting a wall from the Gulf of Mexico to the Pacific Ocean.
If you are elected to Congress next year, where do you start? There's so many different big priorities in this book. Where do you think the most urgency resides?
Well, I said here are the 10 things that I would do if I got in, one of which would be advocate for this wall. Another of which would be advocate for national reciprocity for anybody who has concealed carry. You know, if you leave your state, and you go to another state, you shouldn't have to relinquish the ability to protect yourself. That is a God-given right. And who is the government to get between you and your God to tell you how much your life is worth? I think one of the biggest things that needs to be done that people aren't talking about is declaring the Muslim Brotherhood a terrorist organization. And there are, I want to say, more than 30 organizations that roll up under the Muslim Brotherhood. CARE is one of them, Muslim Students Association. All of them roll up into the Muslim Brotherhood. And that was proven when a very astute, alert Maryland Transportation Safety Officer saw somebody videotaping the bridge over the bay in Maryland, and they pulled that person over and executed a search warrant on their home when they found out there was an outstanding warrant. And they found the archives of the Muslim Brotherhood in North America. And that information was entered into the Holy Land trial. And CARE was described as an unindicted co-conspirator. And we have got to get the Muslim Brotherhood out of the United States. We have got to root them out. That will roll back 60 years of their efforts to undermine the United States from within and stopping this refugee resettlement racket. David Miliband is being paid $650,000. He is the most highly paid guy running one of the voluntary organizations, the VOLAGs, they call them. 9 voluntary organizations. They're not really voluntary. They are getting paid by U.S. taxpayers to move people, predominantly Muslim, 99 plus percent Muslim, I might add, to the United States. We are We are funding our own demise right now. It has got to stop. So Brian Babin has a bill right now. Brian Babin is in the Freedom Caucus, and it is called the Refugee Resettlement National Security Act, and it puts refugee resettlement dollars back into the control of the CBO. And until our security apparatus says that we can vet these people, we won't be bringing anybody in. And I think that's absolutely the right way to go. So,
last question before we let you go, Paul. As you and I visited before, you mentioned that in 2016, you got into the race against Speaker Ryan very late. So a lot of resources and a lot of infrastructure to compete with. However, of course, as your critics will point out, the margin was pretty lopsided in the primary. So how do you beat him this time?
It was. Well, Speaker Ryan has come out and said he's not doing any public town halls. And that is the essence of the job as a representative, is to get feedback from your constituents. He's holding what he's calling employee town halls, where they hand out 3x5 cards to employees that Speaker Ryan's already vetted the questions. And then the employees read those questions off. And you know, as well as I do, that no employee is going to ask a question that's not on that 3x5 card. Because as soon as Speaker Ryan and his entourage leaves, they'll have to be dealt with by their employer. I, on the other hand, am going to hold one town hall per week for the next 13 months if I have to break through this media wall around Speaker Ryan. I've got my first town hall tomorrow in Delavan, Wisconsin, 6 to 7:30. I've got one the following week in Eagle, Wisconsin, 6 to 7:30 on Tuesday. I've got two more lined up behind it. I'm not ready to announce yet, but I will keep to that schedule for the next 13 months, as I said, to get the message out that there is a candidate to the right of Speaker Ryan, a truly conservative candidate who's going to work on behalf of Wisconsin workers, American workers, retirees, and children, unlike our bought and paid for representative here in Wisconsin's 1st District.
Paul, fascinating stuff, both the book and the campaign. Thanks very much for your time today. We appreciate it.
Thanks. I'd encourage everybody to check out my website, electnehlen.com, see what my positions are. And I thank you again, Greg, for the opportunity to be on your show.
You're welcome, sir. Again, it's electnehlen.com. Paul Nehlen ran against Paul Ryan in 2016, running against him again in 2018. The brand new book is Wage the Battle, Putting America First in the Battle to Stop Globalist Politicians and Secure the Borders. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.